Hello, everyone. This is Anna Verzoni, founder and creator of FreedomJunkie.com and this awesome cleanse that you're doing right now, the Rainbow Cleanse. I called it that because what we're really focusing on during this cleanse is also adding a ton of phytonutrients to our diets because, just a little geeky on you here, macronutrients are mostly based, like, they give us calories, like proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. And micronutrients are the ones that give us the fuel we need to support our immune system and keep our hormones balanced and keep all the fine tunings of the body. So I kind of say that, like, the macronutrients help us survive because they give us the calories so we don't keel over. But the micronutrients are the ones that help us thrive. They're the ones that keep us healthy, vibrant, energetic. And when you get a rainbow of natural colors in your food every day, you know that you're getting a lot of those key elements that will help you thrive and help your body function the best. And these micronutrients in these colors that I'm talking about, we can refer to them as phytonutrients, nutrients coming from plants. Because you can also get very important nutrients from minerals and things like that. But we're focusing, when I say rainbow and adding the colors to your plate, on adding increased phytonutrients in the form of different vegetables and fruits and things like that. So that's where the rainbow cleanse comes from. And I'm really excited about this cleanse because of that. And because I live in Alaska a large part of the year and it's hard to get those. So it's good for me to know that I'm going to be held accountable to adding those to my diet every day. But also because I get to share with you these new materials from the Institute of Functional Medicine. And I just think it's brilliant, this whole kind of elimination diet format that they came out with for us functional medicine practitioners to share with our patients and clients. And while you're not a patient of mine, you know, in my clinic, I'm sharing this with you as my coaching clients as we do this awesome cleanse together. So what I'd like to do is go over the materials so that you start off the cleanse with a good foundation. So welcome to day one of the cleanse. I know some of you, this may be your first cleanse, and you may be a little bit nervous, but trust me, the way you're going to feel after these 3 weeks is awesome. And it's not even going to be after the 3 weeks. You're going to start feeling good, I would say, if not right away, at least after the first week. And for me, it's often within the first few days. And for those of you that have cleansed before, welcome back and welcome to these new materials and this new focus of the phytonutrients in this particular cleanse. So I'll go over the materials and then I'll kind of answer some questions and kind of target some common questions that I tend to get on these cleanses. So if you open up your complete guide, what you'll find, one of the first things you'll see is the medical symptoms questionnaire. And what that is, I'll refer to it from here on out as the MSQ. What that is it is a way for you to assess your baseline symptoms. So if you look at this MSQ, I'm going to flip to mine here. I scored high. On this one I'm looking at, I scored 45. And this is probably the worst that my body's felt in a long, long time, or maybe ever. And it's because I'm not getting enough sleep as a new mom. And also just the physical challenge of labor and things like that can last a long time. And so it was really insightful for me to do this because I was like, holy crap, I've never scored that high. And hey, you may score 100 or whatever. And maybe you score lower. But the point is, all of these symptoms on here can be improved through this cleanse. Isn't that awesome? So you look over here, you know, you think, wow, I thought that insomnia was just something I had to deal with for the rest of my life. Or, hey, maybe hay fever is totally normal, or a stuffy nose. So in general, you know, a lot of these things people think that, oh, or look at this, cravings. You know, I flipped the page here. Looking at excessive cravings. And, you know, we think, oh, I was just born with these cravings, and I'm just going to have to deal with managing these cravings forever. You know, if not going completely away, they will definitely improve on this cleanse. And I would say that a lot of these symptoms can completely go away when you follow this cleanse. And that's because, you know, again, to get a little geeky on you with the physiology, that's because a lot of these symptoms are caused by inflammation. And so when you have inflammation in your body, you are going to feel achy joints, you know, you're going to feel foggy headed because your body is working when it's, when this inflammation is going on. And it can't focus on repairing your body, on restoring your body, on keeping your hormones in balance, on, you know, keeping you sharp and on top of it. And so when we deal with the inflammation through this cleanse, a lot of these symptoms can improve. And not just inflammation, but a lot of foods also cause mucus production, you know, because as the inflammation is there, we create mucus to help calm it down. And so that's where, like, the stuffy nose comes from, or sinus problems, okay? So do the MSQ today if you have not yet, all right, because it's really important to see where you're at before the cleanse so that you can reassess afterwards. And you think, well, what causes inflammation? Well, one of the things is a poor diet, and that's the thing that we're addressing during this cleanse. So when we look at the foods that we're eliminating the common allergens. So that's where this term elimination diet comes from. It's actually a tool that's often used to help people manage allergy symptoms. And when you can eliminate these common allergens, then you can also decrease the inflammation. So basically, the common allergen foods are eggs and wheat and dairy and soy. So there's a ton of them, and that's what we're eliminating. And as you do that, your inflammatory baseline in your body will go down. The other thing that I ask you to do during the cleanse is to also rest and restore, because one of the things that creates inflammation is lack of sleep or too much exercise. So, you know, we get these people that are full on going for it every day, especially here in Alaska. And, you know, my friends out in Boulder, props to you, but y'all exercise too much. It's like this addiction. And when you take your body and hammer it like that every day, you're creating inflammation in your body. And I'm not saying don't exercise hard. I love to do it too, but you have to balance it with restoration. Okay? And so during this cleanse, I ask you to move your body every day, but to also take it easy so that your body can focus on decreasing inflammation and focus on your digestion. So the other thing that can cause stress, so we've got diet, we've got, you know, or rather inflammation, we've got diet, we've got lack of sleep, is stress, right? That's another way that we can have inflammation in our body, especially in our gut. I mean, you've probably experienced when you're super stressed out or angry, your stomach doesn't feel right. Or you may say, oh my God, that experience just made me sick to my stomach. Or you don't feel like eating. The worst time to eat is when you're stressed out. And so, you know, eating on the run when you're stressed out, that's just doing no good. Because it's just putting, your gut is already being burdened from the stress, and then you're telling it to digest food really fast also. So that's one of the reasons why I also ask you, as you prepare for this cleanse, to look at your social schedule and make it so that you have it be manageable and you're not stressed out all the time, okay? So on this cleanse, we're addressing all those levels of inflammation. And those are all types of stress, really, that we add to our bodies. So do the MSQ and find out where you're at with your symptoms and see how it improves. The other part of the guide is this week plan. I may put it with the recipes. I printed it out here, so I've got it in paper form in front of me. But there's a sample menu of a week's worth of meals and snacks that are in alignment with the cleanse. So if you look at day one, you know, and day two, three, four, five, six, seven of this menu, it's pretty good stuff, right? Like, we've got quinoa salad with chicken, grapes, and almonds. You know, what I love about this cleanse and the nourishing cleanses that I do, it's not about being hungry. It's not, and like, you can have protein and you can feel full. because what it's about is resetting your system to crave those healthier foods again. So I'm sipping my cleanse-friendly tea here. Hope you guys are too. So take a look at that sample menu, all right? And you can either use that because the recipes are all provided for you, but there's also a shopping guide there. And if you buy those quantities, I mean, this is genius, right? Like, you don't even have to try to guess. If you buy these quantities, you can make all of those recipes. So, you know, you're set. That's why I love this shopping guide that IFM came out with. I mean, no one does that. They may tell you what things to buy, but not how much. And for me, like, especially when I have brain fog, right, from not sleeping or from eating poorly, you want to be able to just go to the store and say, tell me what to buy. And that's what this does. So you've got the shopping guide, you've got recipes, you've got a week meal plan, a week-long meal plan, and there's also the rainbow recipes, which I love, and that's what's unique about this cleanse, because these are recipes that really focus on bumping up your phytonutrient content, okay? And so you can look and say, all right, like, I'm kind of sucking at the phytonutrient thing. Let me pick one of these rainbow recipes, and that way, like, look at the carrot ginger soup, super easy, and you're getting, like, three colors in that, right? Triple green frittata. Those are high rainbow content, too. Now, one thing about the rainbow recipes, not all of them are super cleanse-friendly, per se. Like, for example, eggs are in one of the recipes, and part of the elimination diet can be to eliminate eggs because it's a common allergen. So here's one of the common questions. Do I really have to eliminate eggs? Well, if you don't know if you are allergic to eggs or not and you have some symptoms, yes, that's kind of the point of the cleanse, is to eliminate that. Now, I've cleansed many, many times. I've done an elimination diet and added foods back in, and I know that I'm not allergic to eggs. Thank goodness. And so I can have eggs, you know, on my cleanses, because the purpose isn't for me isn't eliminating it for the sake of finding out the allergies. I already know what I'm allergic to. But again, don't use that caveat as a reason to say, well, I don't think I'm allergic to eggs either, because you really should know. So what I say is, if you don't know for sure, if you've never done an elimination diet before, then correct, you do not eat eggs on this cleanse, okay? And the same goes for all of the things that you're being asked to eliminate. So let's go to what we can and cannot eat on this cleanse, okay? So I'm trying to flip here and find my page that has what we can and cannot eat. So when we're talking about the common allergenic foods, a lot of people might say, you know, why soy? Like, isn't tofu good for you? That's a really common question. So with the tofu, the thing is, these foods are in so many things. So even though, you know, you may think you're just eating soy when you have your tofu, then when you actually look at all the labels of food in the world that we eat today, I mean, soy is in everything. It's in hamburger meat, right? They use it as a filler. And so the way you develop allergies is through repeated exposure to something. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, my mom was allergic to penicillin, so I can't take penicillin. No. That's not how it works. You have to receive penicillin and then, you know, create an allergenic response to it. So basically what happens is, let's say you take penicillin once, and then your body develops this reaction to it for the future. And so you're going to take it, you're going to create this response, but you're not going to have, you know, a full-blown penicillin allergy the first time you take it. It's literally impossible. And so the next time you take it, your body has these antibodies made against penicillin, and it's going to jump on it next time you take it, and that's when you experience the penicillin allergy. Now, the one thing I will say is antibiotics are in a lot of hidden things, especially in, you know, the kind of corporate-raised meat For poultry, like those poor animals get tons of antibiotics just to keep them alive in these like horrible conditions. And so you may be getting antibiotic exposure without knowing it. So that's another way without, quote unquote, taking penicillin that you're getting exposed to it repeatedly and then develop an allergy. So the same with food. You know, if you're eating too much of the same thing over and over and over and over, you can develop an allergy. Every time you have it, you have an increased allergy. So some people are like, how can I be allergic to eggs? I've eaten eggs my whole life. Well, if you eat it a lot your whole life, then you can develop an allergy. And so how do these food allergies and sensitivities develop? Well, there's a couple of things. So a full-blown food allergy happens almost immediately upon exposure. So, and then a food sensitivity is actually a more, it's a differently mediated response by your immune system that can happen, like a day later or up to 3 days later even. So when you have your sensitivity, you may not have an immediate reaction to a food, but you may feel it the next day. Like for example, I have a gluten sensitivity, as do most people. So, that doesn't mean I never eat gluten, but it means when I eat it, I'm going to expect to feel it. So, like, if I just have a friend who made this beautiful, like, homemade pasta dinner and I'm at their house and I choose to eat gluten that night, you know, I pretty much feel hungover the next day without having had wine. And so, you know, that's one of my responses. Like, I just feel foggy-headed, low-energy, bloated, blah. And so, don't like, you know, discount the fact that you've had the foods before or been eating it your whole life as a meaning that you don't have an allergy to it, all right? And one other thing I wanted to talk about briefly was leaky gut. You know, we used to, myself included, think it was this like totally woo-woo thing that these like crazy practitioners did way out there because there was no science to prove that it happened. And I'm a very evidence-based person. Like, I love research. I love science. And so, you know, the things that I teach and the things that I do with my clients are evidence-based. Like, there's good research out there for it. And I just feel like there's been enough stuff done without research that has led people down the wrong tracks, but that's important to me. That doesn't mean that, you know, if someone feels that something's helping them and there's no proof for it, that they should stop. That's not what I'm saying here. But what I am saying is that leaky gut has been known about for a long time, and the general medical community didn't believe in it. And they still don't. They still don't, even though there's more evidence coming out. It takes a long time to change medical practice. But basically, with leaky gut, what that theory is that here's some baseline physiology. Your intestines are lined with a very thin layer of cells. I mean, compared to your skin, you know, there's like 17 cellular layers and all these other like epidermis, dermis, whatever, all over, right? So many thick layers throughout the body. But the gut is very fine. It's so thin. And the lining along the gut, the inside of the gut, has these little villi, like kind of hairs that stick up, and they absorb your nutrients. And then you have these cells that are lined up and they're tight. They're like packed in. They're super tight because the gut is your first defense mechanism that your body has. And when you eat food that causes inflammation, whether it's because you have a sensitivity or whether it's because you didn't chew enough, because yes, not chewing enough can cause inflammation in the gut because it's partially digested food. Digestion begins with chewing. And so when you're eating, you know, food that you haven't chewed well or that you're eating too fast and it's just coming down into the intestines too much, what happens is it creates inflammation there. And those little hairs, they get kind of blunted. It's like someone takes a shaver and kind of comes across the hairs and they're shorter. And then in severe cases, they even just go away. And then you have malabsorption and you're not absorbing the nutrients you need to. But no matter what, when you have an inflamed gut, you're definitely having, a weakened absorption ability of those nutrients. So those hairs get blunted, and those cells that are lined up all tight together, they start kind of having these gaps between them. They're supposed to be tight junctions, tight gap junctions. And what ends up happening is they get looser. So what happens is normally only pre-approved nutrients can fit through those tight gaps. But what happens when they start widening is things get through and get absorbed by your body that shouldn't be. Larger protein, right? So then all of a sudden you've got the egg protein sifting through, and then your body goes, hey, what's that? That's not supposed to be in here, and starts reacting to it. The other thing to keep in mind is that some of these proteins are similar to the proteins on parts of your body. So that's why autoimmune diseases can also be improved by changes in diet. Because when you improve your gut lining, when you decrease the inflammation, those tight gap junctions can form again. They get tighter, and your absorption improves, and you have less of these large proteins and other things coming through that shouldn't be. There's less inflammation in your body, and your body's not attacking those larger proteins anymore that shouldn't be in there, and therefore it stops also attacking some of the proteins that are part of your body that look similar. And so you can have a lot of improvement with autoimmune symptoms as well. So the leaky gut comes from that idea that things are leaking through the gut that shouldn't be. Okay, and that's why this elimination diet can improve leaky gut and can improve a lot of your symptoms. So I hope that didn't confuse you further. You may have to rewind and kind of listen to that over and over. But that's kind of the basis of why an elimination cleanse works. And again, if you've already done an elimination cleanse and you've eliminated some things and you know that you are not allergic or sensitive to it, then you don't have to eliminate it on this cleanse, okay? But most of you have not done a true elimination diet. The reason it's important to do this kind of anally for 3 weeks is because if you don't, and you're eating something that you're allergic to that you don't know about, then your symptoms aren't going to totally improve as much as they could. But then it's going to be harder to discern allergies to other things because maybe they would have given you a similar response to the thing that you're eating. So, like, let's say you're going to eat eggs and you're going to be eating, you're going to be eliminating gluten. But if you're allergic to eggs and you've been eating eggs, and when you add gluten back in, you may not notice that you were allergic to it because you've already been having a response from the eggs that you've been eating the whole cleanse, okay? So what we can and can't eat. You're going to eliminate beef and veal, canned meats. God, I hope none of you are eating canned meats that often, if at all. Cold cuts, eggs, frankfurters. That frankfurters, I haven't said frankfurters in so long, pork, shellfish, whey, soy, that includes, you guys, like, watch out for soy sauce, okay? Some people don't think about soy being in soy sauce, but it is. So that's the proteins that you're cutting out. But check out what you can have. You can have all kinds of cold water fish. You can have wild game meat. You can have buffalo, elk, lamb, and venison. You know, you can buy those in the stores now. Why those meats? Well, they are not eaten that often, and their wild game is not shot up with a bunch of antibiotics and given feed that's nasty, right? That potentially corn or something that you're supposed to be eliminating. If the cow is eating corn and you're eating that beef, then you're eating corn. So, I know I've got some people way out in the bush in Alaska doing this cleanse as well, and they're kind of limited for what they can get, but they've been planning and they're doing it. But one exception would be for me if you actually have a cow that has been raised purely organically and eating grass, okay? That's going to be hard to find for a lot of people. Especially, you know, with the organic component and the non-GMO component and the non-antibiotics and all those other crazy things that they shoot into the animals, okay? But if you can find that, that's a fine by me, okay? But make sure it's organic. Poultry, so chicken, Cornish hen, turkey, that's what you can eat, all right? Yeah, or wild game poultry if you're doing that. And again, aiming for organic. I'm just going to say that like so I don't have to say it every time. When possible, eat organic because for the obvious reasons of not having the pesticides and the toxins that come in when you're not eating organic, but also because what we now know is that these pesticides and toxins also add to our hormone disruptions and other health issues that are going on, you know, not just the toxicity component, but also the effect that it's having on our body function. And so you can also have protein powders. You know, you want to make sure that it's not a kind of protein like a soy protein, obviously. So you want to check for it. There's hemp protein, pea protein, rice protein. There's plant protein as well, like through beans and mushrooms and other vegetables, okay? Legumes, so you can have those beans. And then also, in terms of eliminating legumes, again, you're going to be eliminating soybean, okay? So no edamame. I love edamame, but no edamame on this rainbow cleanse, okay? So in terms of dairy, you're eliminating all dairy, okay? All dairy. So please don't ask me, is it okay if I have butter? Is it okay if I have whey? This and that. No. So no dairy during these 3 weeks. And alternatives, though, my favorite is coconut milk because, you know, when you're wanting to make a yummy, creamy soup, and normally, you know, you'd put some organic cream in there, add coconut milk. It's an amazing way to make something creamy and yummy. And there you can also get coconut yogurt and kefir as well, all right? You can use almond milks, coconut milks, flaxseed, hazelnut, hemp, and rice milks. In terms of nuts and seeds, you want to eliminate peanuts for sure, okay? Why? Well, first they have a fungus on them, or mold rather, that can cause an allergic reaction, and it's also quite toxic to the body. And so you want to eliminate mixed nuts that have peanuts in them because they will have played with the peanuts in there, so don't just pick them out. And then peanuts and peanut butter. But you can have all these other nuts, okay? You can have cashews. You can have hazelnuts, hemp seeds, pecans, walnuts, right? Walnuts are so good for you. The type of oil that walnuts have is so good for your brain. And then the fats and oils. You're eliminating dairy, so you're not having butter. I don't think there's anything wrong with butter normally, but if you're sensitive to dairy, you know, it's important to eliminate. And, you know, to be honest, I eliminate things like that during the cleanse, even though I know I can kind of eat them, because it's just easier on your body. So even though you may not have a sensitivity to something, it's nice to give your body a break because dairy's hard to break down, too. So another reason to stick with it, right? So you're going to eliminate butter, corn oil, cottonseed oil, margarine spreads, mayonnaise, peanut oil, shortening, and soybean oil. These are things that, you know, other than butter, I would just eliminate forever, okay? And what you can have are coconut. It says, you know, in your handout for the food plan, it says that you can have coconut oil for cooking, grapeseed oil for cooking, and olive oil for cooking, rice bran oil, and sesame oil. I will say you need to watch out for cooking with olive oil because when you're cooking with olive oil, it has a very low smoke point, and you really shouldn't be cooking with olive oil, in my opinion. If anything, you're lightly sautéing super quick. But sesame oil, similar, you know, super quick because both of those have very low smoke points. And what happens is when oil reaches its smoke point, it changes. It changes chemically and becomes inflammatory to your body and toxic. So, you know, if you look at the Mediterranean, mostly like the olive oil, the high-quality olive oil is being used cold. They're pouring it onto salad. They're dipping their bread into it, right? So olive oil is meant to be used more as a condiment and not as a cooking oil. And these other oils on there, like the coconut and the rice bran and the grapeseed, those have a higher smoke point. So those are better for cooking with. And ideally during this cleanse, you're not really frying either, okay? Hopefully you're able to eat a little bit lighter during this. Okay, so on the back side of your handout, vegetables. you know, go for it. The only thing you're eliminating is corn and potato if you're avoiding nightshades. So I really love potatoes, but, you know, they have a very low glycemic index, so they spike your sugar. But if you are avoiding nightshades, they're important to eliminate on this cleanse. Otherwise, you can have them. You know, what are nightshades? Well, there's this general class of vegetables that are plants that that bloom in the night. And also they have components that tend to cause inflammation in some people. Some other examples of nightshades are eggplants. Okay, so if you're avoiding nightshades, you're not going to have eggplants or potatoes or tomatoes and some other things that are part of the nightshade family. You could Google that. But since we're not focusing on that on this cleanse, you can have it. I will say if you have joint pain, eliminating nightshades could help you a ton. So if one of your main symptoms is joint pain, then definitely try to cut out the nightshades as part of that, meaning no potatoes. And corn, you know, nothing wrong with good old corn that's, you know, raised in the back of your house or whatever, except for the fact that it's in everything. Again, so you probably can have a corn sensitivity without knowing it because it is used as a filler in everything. One of my friends, her baby is sensitive to corn right now. I say right now because you can outgrow it as well. They just have very immature guts still, so they're more prone to these leaky gut type things. But with the corn, it's in so many things, like iodized salt, like it's processed, you know, with this corn spray or something. And I mean, she just showed me this list of everything that corn is in. It's freaky. It's like in everything. So that's why we're not eating corn during this time, okay, because it's in everything and a lot of people have a sensitivity to it, and you may be one of them also, okay? So you're going to be happily eating all these awesome things on the cleanse. Like I just love grains, so I'm going to be doing a lot of fish and grain, like fish and quinoa. I'm going to be doing, you know, maybe my friends will give me some mousse here in Alaska, which is like awesome wild game, yummy, yummy, and having that with my grains. And, you know, if you're vegetarian, you got to bump up the legumes maybe more than normal because a lot of vegetarians eat pounds and pounds of tofu, and we're not eating that on this cleanse, okay? So we're going to be eating on lots of rice, lots of protein. We're going to be having all of these awesome veggies and phytonutrients. And one of the best ways, y'all, to get the phytonutrients is through berries. So I like to buy, like, the Costco organic bags of frozen berries because here in Alaska it's really hard to get fresh berries. We have amazing berries here, but the season is very short. And but in general, a great way to get phytonutrients is through berries because there's so many different colors, right? Red, black, purple. I mean, they're just blue. So many beautiful berries. So I would say add a bunch of berries because even though you can eat fruit to add your phytonutrients in, fruit has a lot of sugar. And so the more you can get with berries as your fruit, the better because they have a better glycemic index than most other fruits, and they are packed with phytonutrients. You know, they are superfoods. So have a bunch of berries if you really are confused about how to bump up your phytonutrients and get your rainbow. So the other part of this cleanse, you know, with the phytonutrients is that we are trying to get all colors of the rainbow every day. So if you haven't planned for this already, sit down and figure out ways that you could get all the colors of the rainbow every day. You know, to keep it simple, you know, for those of you that are super busy, get one of those berry bags and make yourself a smoothie with some protein powder in it and some nut butters every morning. Yum, yum, yum. Add some greens into there. You know, you can check off a whole bunch of colors right there. And then you can add in red and orange. You can have an orange for one of your snacks. Or you could have some yams with dinner for your orange. You know, red. Apples or green or red peppers, rather. Okay, so those are ways that you can get in red and orange. And you could just stick to that. Like for these 3 weeks, if you know it's normally really hard for you to get red in your diet and the only way you can where you are is a red apple, buy 10 of them and just have, you know, an apple a day for the 3 weeks, which in Ayurveda is really good for you too. And by the way, just props to Ayurveda, because they have always said that the gut is the root of disease. And lo and behold, this is what, you know, Western medicine is finding years and years later, thousands of years later. Like, oh, the gut is so important, not just to digestion and gut problems, but also to hormone balance, to psychological well-being, to so many things, okay? So another great reason to be sticking to this elimination diet. Now, when you are done with the 3 weeks, you have a choice. You can either go back to eating the way you were, but healthier and cleaner. Like, I do these cleanses at least twice a year because it resets me to crave healthier foods. Because as I move away from the cleanse, I tend to have more yummy cheeses and things like that, and a little more wine and all these other things. Oh, speaking of things that you're not drinking, right? I forgot to mention. So you're not drinking caffeine or alcohol. Now, I do not want you, listen very closely, those of you who are coffee addicts, I do not want you just cold turkey quitting coffee. Because you'll just be miserable the whole cleanse, and you will, hate it. And I want you to enjoy the other benefits of the cleanse than dealing with your caffeine headache every day. So what I'd like you to do is taper off of your coffee. And ideally, you'd have been doing this before the cleanse started, you know, as we talked about in the preparatory material. So what you want to do is half-calf first. So, you know, when you're mixing up your coffee, have it half of normal caffeinated coffee, and then the other half decaf, ideally cold-pressed decaf, because nasty decaf is totally toxic the way they create it. So ideally, like that Swiss water processed decaf, that's the best. And then go to totally decaf, because decaffeinated coffee still has a third of the caffeine of regular coffee, so it doesn't mean it doesn't have any. So you're still getting some caffeine, don't worry. So half calf to decaf to black tea to green tea to without. Okay, and if you're still having a caffeine headache, go ahead and continue green tea, because while it does have caffeine in it, it can help prevent your headache, and it has these great antioxidant qualities. So I'd rather have you do that than have a miserable headache the whole time, okay? And there's also in your handout a hidden food thing like that shows where there's all these. Remember, I was talking about my friend showing me this like 5-page thing of where corn is hidden in. There's actually a short version of the common hidden ways that sugar, egg, milk, soybeans, and wheat are found in foods. All right, so check that out. So after the 3 weeks, you know, you can go back, start drinking your coffee again, start eating the milk and blah, 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 blah. But I ideally want you to come off with ease, because you've just given your digestion this amazing break, and you can add things back in more gently. And I use this as more of a reset. I try to eat cleanse-like the vast majority of the time. But like I said, as the cleanse gets further and further away, I tend to start sneaking things back in. And it's only when I do the cleanse that I realize how much I've slipped. Like a lot of people say, oh, I kind of eat like I do on cleanses anyway. You know, then do the actual cleanse, because you will see how much you kind of sneak in a little gluten here and there, or some candy here and there and things like that, okay? So ideally, you're not just going out and then bombarding your body with like pizza and beer the next day. You're easing out of it. And if you're genuinely interested in finding out what you could be sensitive to or allergic to, what you do is you're going to do what is called food reintroduction. And you have a symptoms tracker in your handouts. And what you're going to do is you're going to reintroduce, of all the things that we eliminated, one new food at a time. And so you're going to eat it 2 to 3 times in the same day, okay? So the reason you want to eat it 2 or 3 times is that you want to build up enough of that substance in your body to elicit a reaction, okay? So 2 to 3 times in the same day. Then you want to stop eating it and wait 48 hours, because remember, I talked about the delayed response if you don't have a true allergy. So wait 48 hours to see if you have a reaction. Then you have a chart here where you can write down, you know, the food that you ate and the response that you had. So if there's no reaction to a food, you can continue eating that in as you come off of the cleanse, okay? If you have a reaction, then you want to stop eating it, obviously, okay? And then you want to wait another couple of days before adding another. You don't need to wait another couple of days, but you want to wait till your symptoms go away after stopping that food before adding in another one, because you don't want to confound your results and not know what food is causing what symptom. So, for example, let's say you're going to add in eggs because you love eggs and you really want to know if you're sensitive to eggs. So add the eggs back in, have some eggs for breakfast, and then maybe have an egg drop soup for lunch or something, and wait 2 days. If you develop achy joints, or if you develop a skin rash, or you develop mucus, or difficulty breathing, or a foggy head, right, then you want to stop eating the eggs and wait till those symptoms go away before adding in the next thing, like which might be dairy. So that's how you do it. Okay, so one food at a time, waiting to see if you're sensitive, and then adding in another. I recommend starting with things like eggs, and then maybe peanuts, or maybe some of the nightshades if you're doing that. And then maybe soy. And then I would wait for gluten and dairy till later, unless you're hell-bent on mostly caring about one of those things, okay? Because most people have a reaction to wheat and dairy. So there's no sense in, like, starting with it, really, and then having a reaction and then, you know, having to wait another couple days before adding in all these other foods that you may be less likely to have a reaction to. So start with the ones that you're less likely to have a reaction to and save wheat and dairy or gluten and dairy for later, okay? That's my recommendation. So you're going to add these in, and then what you're going to find out is, hey, maybe I'm sensitive to gluten and dairy, but I can have corn and I can have all these soy and things like that. Well, awesome. So does that mean that you should go and eat corn every day or soy every day? No, because you can, remember what I said earlier, over repeated exposure, you can still develop an allergy. So what I recommend is like a food rotation. So you're basically, you know, kind of, you can have corn one day and then have it again like a couple of days later, but not every day for every meal. That's ideal. You can also eventually, as your gut heals, as those tight gap junctions form again and your mucus production kind of calms down and your inflammation calms down, you find you may be able to actually eat some of the food that you're sensitive to right now again. Again, in moderation, though. So that's the awesome thing about this. It's not about getting anal and restrictive with your food. It's about learning what you're sensitive to, healing your gut after the cleanse, right? Continuing to eat healthfully, letting your gut heal over a period of months. Then you can try to see if you can have that food again in a small quantity. So that's what I do with gluten, right? It's like I call it gluten when it's worth it. Like if I'm at an amazing bakery in like San Francisco or something and I see like an amazing croissant, because they're really hard to get good croissants in most places, I will have one because I love them. And it's worth it for me to have that then, right? Ice cream. I love ice cream. I love it less than I used to, interestingly enough, as I've cut it out. But if I'm going to have it, it's going to be good quality, right? Because I know that dairy creates a response in me. And so if I'm going to have it, it's going to be high quality and not too frequent. I'm going to like save my chips for the good stuff, all right? So we've got about 15 minutes left here, and so I wanted to, somebody sent in a question. And by the way, if you're on the call, press *2 to raise your hand, or if you're on the webcast, you can type in a question into the lower left-hand corner. I answered some questions on the Facebook page, and some people had sent me questions independently that I answered via email, but Nora sent in a question to ask on the call, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that. and see if anybody else has any questions. The material will answer most of your questions, so please read through it thoroughly. And there's also great explanation of the elimination diet in your materials if you want more geeking out to do. There's a lot of great resources on phytonutrients as well, you know, that talks about what each different phytonutrient can add. So be sure to do that if you're not asking questions on this call, because, you know, it's kind of redundant to have it in your materials and ask it on the Facebook page and then have to, you know, do all that rigmarole. So Nora says, I'm realizing I may not be able to make the call, so I'm wondering how to handle the cleanse while visiting my brother in New York City next weekend. Honestly, I'm not sure I'll stick to it, since he's excited about taking us to his favorite wine bar, a giant flea market with lots of local food vendors, etc. I haven't seen him in at least 6 months, and I don't really want to spend the time being super picky about food. Plus, it's New York, and there are just so many yummy eating options. Should I just not worry about it on Saturday and get back on track Sunday when we head home? Will that totally ruin my cleanse? I'm thinking a fun and relaxing weekend with my brother and Rob will be worth it. I can always pack an emergency snack bag, too, so it's not all bad. Okay, so if you are doing this for the purpose of discovering food allergies, yes, it will totally ruin your cleanse. Because then you will have exposed yourself to all of these, and then you're going to have to do another 3 weeks, because it does take 3 weeks to really help the body reset if you're worried about allergenic foods. If the purpose of your cleanse with us is to eat more cleanly, eat more healthfully, and your MSQ score is really low and you're actually doing all right, or you know already what you're sensitive to, then I say, hey, life is short. You're in New York City. Go do it. I get asked this question all the time, every class. I'm going wine tasting in Napa. Yeah. So, you know, why, like, not go to Napa and enjoy the wine tasting because you're on this cleanse? So I say, yeah, in moderation. So, you know, you're going to go to New York. They have awesome pizza. Maybe at least don't do the pizza. Maybe go try the Ethiopian food, which actually can be quite cleanse friendly, right? Injera, which is the fermented bread that the Ethiopians eat with their meals, is gluten-free. I had no idea until I was in Portland at a food cart and I was wanting to cleanse. And then lo and behold, I see the sign, thank God for Portland food carts, right? It says, Injera is gluten-free. And I was like, hell yeah. So when you're in New York and you're around all this amazing international food, do that. Try that and try to see how amazing it can be to stick to the cleanse in New York, because actually you're going to have more delicious cleanse-friendly options. So, like, you know, instead of having, like, one of their awesome deli sandwiches in New York, go have injera. And maybe, yeah, maybe the food has a little bit of dairy in it, but at least you're not, like, whammying everything you're not supposed to be eating. So I would say use New York as this amazing way to experience exactly how well you can stick to the cleanse and eat amazing food. Now, as for wine, you know, wine actually blunts those hairs on the lining and causes, you know, bad digestion. It actually changes the microbiome in your gut. You know, that's why farts smell worse after eating, because the bad bacteria grows more. Or did I say after eating? After drinking. So a lot of people have, like, bad farts after drinking a bunch. And that's because the bad bacteria overgrow when you drink and your digestion gets all messed up. Having said that, yeah, if you're wine tasting in Napa, then wine taste. But maybe, like, don't go, you know, and drink a whole Boda box or something of wine. And then and if you're in New York, yeah, have some. But just don't, like, you know, get wasted on the good wine that you're having. So my answer is always, I mean, you know, middle way. So if, and again, if you're worried about sensitivity to stuff, then you should stick with it. Even in New York, it's going to be easier to stick to a cleanse in a bigger city because there's more options in general. But, you know, if you're wanting to have a good time, go for it. Just start practicing. Because I'll tell you this, you guys, there's always a reason to not stick to a cleanse. Always. Like, when I first did a cleanse, I remember I got invited to my friend's 30th birthday party, And, you know, it was this big party, and she was paying for everyone's dinner, and it was like this fancy restaurant. And I went, and I looked at the menu, and there was actually not that much I could eat other than a salad. And they had amazing wine, and I was like, you know, could I actually, like, you know, have a reason to not stick to the cleanse? Yeah, but at the time that I was doing that cleanse, I didn't know what I was allergic to, what I was sensitive to. So it was really, really important for me to really learn that about my body. And I stuck to it, and everybody was, like, amazed. Like, oh, my God, how are you? You have such discipline, blah, blah, blah. Well, it was hard. But the point is that, you know, I stuck to it. I was able to have a good time still with them. You know, I'd had, like, a nice fizzy water with some lime in it, and I ordered the salad. And, you know, like, I eat a lot, you guys, normally. So these ladies know, like, I wasn't just trying to be prissy and have a salad. Like, I was doing my cleanse, and then I was going to go home and continue to eat, right? Like, my cleanse-friendly stuff. And so that's what I did. So there's always an excuse to not stick to the cleanse. But, you know, life happens. And so go and enjoy it. And in the future, you know, really try to plan the cleanse around, or plan your life around the cleanse, so that, you know, you're not doing wine tasting in Napa during your cleanse. And I totally understand that this cleanse is a fixed dates and everything, and you guys want to do it as a group. And that's awesome, because you're going to have more fun doing it with this group during this time, even though some social activities may not line up. But, again, you're going to get the most benefits if you can do the 21 days without breaking it. And if you break it for a day, don't beat yourself up about it. Enjoy. So here's the other thing. If you're going to have a day where you're going to break the cleanse because of a special event or something like that, please at least enjoy it, because that is what it's for, right? Like, food is celebratory. It's a part of sharing culture and sharing good time. So if you're going to do it, at least enjoy it and don't feel guilty about it, okay? Have fun. and that way it'll be worth it in my book, okay? If you have autoimmune disease and you've never done one of these before or other serious symptoms, stick to it. It's worth it, you know? Stick to it no matter what's going on, because this is your chance to learn what your body needs and how to take care of it. And that is a gift. It's such a gift for the rest of your life. You can improve your health so much. All right, let me check if anybody else asked questions. Star 2 to raise your hand or type in the question and answer box. Okay, we are good to go, you guys. Thank you for coming on the first call. We have another one. I believe it's next Saturday. So if you couldn't make this call and you're listening to the recording and you've got some questions, you can ask them on Facebook. And we will also have the call at 10 a.m. Pacific on Saturday the 18th as well, because I want you to be able to have a way to deal with some of the things that come up with during a cleanse. All right? One thing I will say is that some people get headaches when they're detoxing during a cleanse, just because of eating cleanly. And you know, the mucus production going down allows the body to purge. Like, it's been waiting to do this, but it can't because it's fighting inflammation the whole time. And once you calm down, sometimes you can feel headaches and maybe feel a little icky. Well, you want to rest. You want to get enough sleep. You want to move your body. You can do saunas to sweat out the toxins through your skin. It's a brilliant way to detox. And another thing that works is Alka-Seltzer, because it changes the pH of your body, and it's not toxic, like just pure Alka-Seltzer, not like Alka-Seltzer PM or something like that. Just plain Alka-Seltzer can help the body balance a little bit. And then also with the headache, do a cold pack on your forehead and put your feet in hot water at the same time. So enjoy, like, have some Epsom salts in a basin and put some hot water in, maybe some essential oils. Put your feet in that. And then a cold pack on your head helps a lot with headaches in general, but especially detoxing headaches, all right? Okay, so I will see you guys on the forum. Happy cleansing. Here we go. I don't know about you guys, but I really need this. So I'll talk to you next week, and enjoy. Bye.